We'll share the story behind shares in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this RAIN report. We'll begin by posing this question. What do Air Force Mars and Army Mars have in common? They are involved with shares. According to shares program manager Ross Merlin, the shares program can be described in 4 words.
Shares in 4 words, shared resources, which is where the name comes from, backup, and interoperability. If you can understand those three concepts, you can understand the shares program. The resources that we share are HF radio stations, federal radio channels, and the operators with those stations. We all have compatible interoperable equipment. Why can't we talk to each other? Well, of course we can if we're on the same channel. The shares program has made a lot of channels available that can be used by, previously it was just federal, but we're broadening now, federal, state agencies, county emergency management agencies, and critical infrastructure and key resources. Power generation, power distribution, pipeline companies, even delivery companies. You know, getting spare parts are critical to getting facilities back up. If the guys who need to deliver those spare parts can't find out if the roads are open, they can't help the telecom or other systems get back up. We're broadening the program, not just the telecom industry that we're trying to help, but everything that they depend upon. Backup communications. If you are with a federal or state agency, you have HF radio channels. What could possibly go wrong? Somebody could be trying to jam you. You could have more traffic than you could handle on your own channels. You could be experiencing interference. I've got a large pool of channels. If you're with a shares registered station, you have legal authority to use those channels as you need them for emergency communication purposes. You don't have to send in a request that gets reviewed by 3 committees, and 5 days after your disaster, you get an answer. We trust you to use good judgment, not to use them for your personal uses. You can use them. It's nice to let the shares office know what you've done so that we can take credit for the work that you do, and that helps us to stay funded and have the program. But you don't need to get permission. You all have the same mission, more or less. It's either save the world, save the planet, save Earth, or something along those lines, and we're trying to help you to do that. We're not trying to hold you back with a lot of ceremony. Backup communications, we've got about 1,600 stations registered that can be useful for relaying your message, or other people act as net control stations. They're there to help you. They're not under my control. There's a handful from FBI. There's a handful from Housing and Urban Development, a handful from Department of Labor, a very large handful from the Veterans Administration, FEMA, Coast Guard, Civil Air Patrol, Mars. 157 different entities are members of the SHARES program. Some of those are state-level agencies, some of those are hospitals in states, but everybody's working together. So we have 2 kinds of channels, channels that we call the SHARES Coordination Net channels. That's 60 channels assigned to the Department of Homeland Security, and that's where we will run typically directed nets that you're familiar with from your amateur radio experience, traffic nets or emergency nets. Same idea, net control station acts as a traffic cop. Then the federal agencies that are members can, if they want to, designate a couple of their channels as shares channels. So these would normally be channels where they're maintaining a radio watch. Let's say the National Interagency Fire Center in Idaho, for their own operations, they operate on a certain channel. They can list that channel in our shares directory, and if I'm from some other agency and I can't get my message through, I can look them up in the directory, see that they're on the air, see what frequency, and I just have the legal authority to go on their channel and ask them if they can help me to get this message through. They don't have to. They might be involved in their own disaster, but if they're willing and able to help, we can do it. You know, in amateur radio, we just spin the knob and go on any frequency that our license class requires and check into a net. In the federal government, your agency is assigned specific frequencies, and the radio regulations are designed to keep us from talking with each other, from interfering with each other. Unlike ham radio, where we all talk to each other at will, in government-regulated spectrum, it's quite the opposite. So what we're doing here is quite novel within government of designating channels where everyone can talk to each other. And, of course, the last concept is interoperability. That's been the word of the decade since at least 9/11. Actually, the first time the word interoperability was used, anybody know? In the congressional report of the sinking of the Titanic. So since 1912, at least, we've been talking about interoperability, and we're finally getting around to coming up with a way to make it easy and effective. Our shares coordination nets are typically single sideband voice, one-to-many, net control operator. We do use automatic link establishment. That's a very neat technology, ALE. You don't need an expensive radio that has that built in. There's PC ALE. There's Mars ALE. There's multi-PSK. And there might be some others, so you can check that out. There's a website, hflink.com and hflink.net, if you want to learn more about ALE. It's a very useful technology for what we do. And we use various other data modes, and we have some channels dedicated to specific modes and other channels where you can use any mode. We use WinLink, PAC-TOR 3 and 4, MT63, MIL Standard 188, 110A, and lots of others. We're not tightly limited in what we can do. We have a lot of freedom. We use the hybrid variant of WinLink, so it'll use the internet when the internet is there. When the internet is broken, it'll automatically go to radio-only mode and relay by radio. So we got the best of both worlds. Very rare that the disaster would take out the entire internet. You typically have an outage in the area affected by some natural disaster. You just need to get to the edge of that area. The internet is working fine. So why restrict a radio message to radio only, which will add a lot of time to its delivery, when you just need to get maybe one or two hops, get out of the affected area, back into the internet? So we're very keen on the worst case scenario of a nationwide internet and telephone outage, but we allow for other possibilities, and we try to optimize the resources. On agency channels, a federal agency contributed channel, that's for one-to-one, point-to-point relay. You find the person on the air, hey, can you help me? If they can, relay the message. You go back to your watch channel, because that's where people would look for you if they were trying to reach you. Every week, we provide a testing opportunity. It's not an exercise with a scenario. It's just the national net activates at 1500 Zulu year-round, and the regional nets. Our regions follow the FEMA region boundaries, except Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands we have in Region 4, which is physically closer to, and we combine some regions, FEMA Regions 1, 2, and 3, the Northeast, that's our Northeast region, and in the North and South central parts of the U.S., we combine it. So we have six regions. We probably should have called them areas to avoid confusion with the FEMA regions. But if you're familiar with the FEMA region boundaries, you'll be able to follow what we're doing. So we'll have regional nets. The six regional nets will come up for the second hour of that two-hour window. The national net runs the full 2 hours. It's just an opportunity to check that your radio is working, your antenna tuner will tune those frequencies, and give the operators some time to practice. And once you check in, if you hear a station in some distant state, you can ask net control for permission to contact that station directly. Just an opportunity. Remember, this is not ham radio. This is at emergency operations centers at federal and state and county levels. And sometimes you need the bragging rights. You need to explain to non-technical people just what that strange pile of equipment can do. So if you're here in Ohio and you can talk to Seattle, Washington, that might get a wow out of the boss and help him to understand the capabilities.
You're listening to a 2016 Dayton Hamvention presentation by Ross Merlin, Program Manager of Shares. Shares coordinates a voluntary network of government, industry, and disaster response agency HF radio stations used for emergency communications. We'll conclude our excerpt from Ross Merlin's talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report. Available 24/7 on therainreport.com, now tablet and mobile friendly, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and via iTunes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
There's also testing opportunities, regional nets in evening hours for those of us who have day jobs and aren't in front of a radio, and some of the specialty modes, CW, some of the data modes. Sometimes there's just a state. California has started a statewide net. The Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium, CUSEC, covers 8 or 11 states and crosses 4 FEMA region boundaries. So no one region net meets the needs for that scenario. So this year they formed a CUSEC net to include all those states to give them a chance to practice their mutual aid communications. We'll typically do several exercises each year. 3 of them are just extra long versions of the weekly check-in net. It's 10 or 11 or 12 hours to allow second shift operators a chance to do it. There's no scenario. There's no message traffic play. It's just a longer check-in window. So your second or third shift or reserve people have more time, or your volunteers from home. And then typically we'll latch on to some other agency's big exercise with a real scenario and build a shares component in to give real exercise practice. And if your agency wants to use shares frequencies for maybe an interstate exercise or a multi-state region exercise, yes, we're happy to support that. We're happy to make the frequencies available for that. The SHARES program has changed over the years. When it was first created back in the 80s, it was for federal entities only, and it reflected the operating practices of the Cold War, where you had stations on the air all day, sometimes 24 hours a day, routinely using HF. You could look them up in the directory. You could contact them. They were likely to be there. Over time, HF sort of fell out of favor because satellites were new and sexy, shiny object squirrel. And that's where all the attention went to. And people sort of forgot about HF. And now, a decade or two later, they're starting to realize that satellite has its own vulnerabilities. Every system does. It's not the one answer to all the problems. And the interest in HF is coming back. And that's really good because there's new technologies, big advances in digital signal processing. Automatic link establishment is there. It's well established. HF email, forwarding systems. So it's a good time for them to be coming back to HF. But they're not maintaining watch. They turn on the radio when they know something is going on. So what we're doing is we're changing from the Cold War model to the all hazards model. If you're involved in emergency communications, I'm sure you're familiar with that term. That's the direction we're going. So it's more flexibility with smaller budgets and smaller staff. We've been doing more with less for so long. We're now doing less with less. It's an evolutionary thing. When we were under the national communications system, we were limited to just federal agencies. But now, ready for alphabet soup, we're under the NCIC, the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center. NCS was put out of existence by the president by executive order in 2013. Some of the parts of the NCS were moved around. Some wound up in the NCIC. Some wound up under the DHS Office of Emergency Communications. SHARES is under NCIC in a part called the NCC, the National Coordinating Center for Communications. And NCIC had a broader mission than the old NCS. Under NCIC, we're now allowed to support federal and state and local and tribal and territorial governments, private sector communities, civilian communities, and as we did before, we support ESF number 2. That's Emergency Support Function number 2 communications. We do that in partnership with FEMA. FEMA concentrates more on the tactical communications. If a hurricane or tornado comes through and the fire dispatch system is damaged, FEMA can help get that back on the air. From our side, the NCIC side, we're helping the telephone company and the internet service providers and the cable TV folks get back on the air. Cable TV, nobody died because they couldn't watch ESPN. Why is cable a big deal? Well, a lot of your telephone goes over cable. Not just people with VoIP telephone, but the telephone company, for their backhaul, they buy the capacity from the cable company. So the poor guy in the cable truck arguing with the policeman at the checkpoint, he's essential to get through. They shouldn't have this problem. They really are part of being able to dial 911. So we help with those checkpoint issues, and we help with getting the supplies and getting the big telecoms back on the air. You know, if you're a telecom guy and you have to work with a distant station, how do you coordinate? You call them on the phone. Wait a minute, the phones are out. That's why we're here, HF radio. So the big telephone companies do have HF radios in this SHARES network so that they have back channel, order wire, if you're familiar with that term, so that they can at least help get the system back up. And they might need their messages relayed, and that's where having so many volunteers available to act as relays becomes very important. DoD has gone through some evolutionary changes, too. The Mars programs are moving from defense support to civil authorities to a military mission. And that kind of left a gap for agencies that were getting supported by DoD. SHARES was able to come in and absorb those agencies into the SHARES program to continue providing service. Navy, Marine Corps, MARS did a lot of that, and that program came to an end last September, but customers were not left high and dry. The SHARES program partnered with the MARS programs, and we were able to continue and even in some cases expand the service. The critical infrastructure key resources world on their own is becoming aware of the need for a backup resilient communications. The bottom line, SHARES mission is to support your mission, assuming that you are one of these agencies. We're not asking you to do something for us, for our mission. We're there to provide shared stations, channels, and operators to help you do the communications that you need to do. There are some people that as SHARES we can talk to, but are not eligible to be members. That would be anybody using the Alaska Emergency Channel, RACES. This is in both the amateur Part 97 rules and the federal rules under NTIA. RACES is allowed to talk to federal government stations on amateur frequencies, not amateur stations in general. Well, good news, there was a recent decision within the FCC where they said, in addition to that, on the five channels at 5 megahertz where the amateur service has secondary status, any amateur station involved in emergency communications is authorized to communicate with federal stations on that channel. So it's nice to see the FCC is broadening things, make it a little easier for us to do emergency communications. And potentially for disasters like the Haiti earthquake and the Ecuador earthquake, in SHARES, we can talk with foreign stations and coordinate American disaster response. If you're looking for the SHARES frequency list, you can't have it. Only if you're a member of SHARES and you sign a non-disclosure agreement can you get that. If you're a SHARES member, you go to this website, search for SHARES documents. You'll need a passcode. If you don't have it, there's a little button to request the passcode. If I can validate that you are an actual member, then you'll get the information. You can download the files. So we can update them more frequently, and you can get them when you need them, not wait for our office.
This has been an excerpted 2016 Dayton Hamvention presentation by Ross Merlin, Program Manager for SHARES, which coordinates a voluntary network of government, industry, and disaster response agency HF radio stations used for emergency communications. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2017 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for all those who share these Rain Reports with the world, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com, on Twitter @TheRainReport, and via iTunes. Keep on hamming!